PKN 491. How you guys doing?
Not bad. Had a fun weekend of playoff football.
Oh yeah. Tragic news for the Eagles.
No. Wonderful news. It was a great weekend of college football. It was so funny to watch.
Professional football.
Oh, I'm right? Sorry. Yeah. Oh, oh yeah. It looked like college football if you're watching Philly play, though.
I didn't watch them play.
You're like, oh, that is the Bulldogs. I remember them. They did struggle. it was a whooping all around for several teams. Our good friend Scum, huge Cowboys fan, really down in the gutter right now, just getting everybody's walking past.
Just spitting on the Cowboys. Not anymore, apparently.
Scum and I have been talking back and forth. This is before the Eagles lost. I sent him a YouTube short of that hey, goodbye song. And that it's fun. And I thought the Eagles were going to win when I sent that. They did not. But I have a backup team, and my Lions are still alive.
You're Lions.
You're Lions. Mm-hmm. You can't even jump on the Chiefs.
First playoff win since 1991. But Woody's been there every step of the way.
They were one game off the Super Bowl. No, I have been. I've been a Lions fan since I was 15 years old.
Do they play the Bills now?
No, they're NFC. No, so they're going to play. But
the Bills are like progressing, right? Like
the Bills did move forward.
The Bills are playing the Chiefs.
They're going to be favored, I think.
They are a little by 2 points.
Look
at that. Look at that fucking graphic.
Oh, my God. It's almost.
The production quality on this show is next level.
Did you make this, Zach? I've never seen this. What do you call it? Where all the teams are in like columns or bullet brackets.
It's
that's
a bracket
what you would call
of sorts. So Tampa Bay beat Philly. I don't understand why Tampa Bay was 4 seed and Philly was 5 seed because
Those are
the
they were
seeds,
division
right?
winner.
Oh, division. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
One sense. Thing for Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is the one I know the most about. Tampa Bay is our division that the Falcons, Saints, Panthers, Tampa Bay are in is the worst and weakest division in all of maybe professional sports. When you look at the strength of schedule this year for the NFL, it's those four teams at the bottom. They all had the weakest strength of schedule because they all play each other. It's absurd. But somehow Tampa Bay squeaked on through and then got a win.
Yeah, you gotta know the Eagles. The Eagles started off 10-1. Now there were a lot of close games in there, so it was kind of the 10-1. It was a bad 10-1 if there is such a thing, and they finished the season 1-5.
Yeah.
That's 1-6. You throw that last one in.
The playoffs 1-6. Yeah.
I don't know why anybody even pays attention to that. Like. First of all, the regular
I told
season,
you guys it didn't matter when you were like, "Oh, the Chiefs aren't looking that good." I'm like, "They're going to make the playoffs," and then Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the world. It'll be fine.
Not this year. He's got like real subpar.
He's got nobody to throw to.
He's got 12th in the league numbers this year.
I don't actually know, dude.
I do. I'm looking forward to this thing. I'm looking forward to seeing these shitty teams get to have their chance in the sun. It's always fun when you get a story. You know, if the Lions or the Bills won it all. My bracket's of course destroyed because I had the Eagles going all the way. Not because I had any faith in the Philadelphia Eagles, but just because I had faith in greed and capitalism, and I believed that the NFL would put the fix in, make sure those Kelce brothers got in the game together. But I still stand by. Chiefs have to make it. There's no way they keep T Swift out of the fucking Super Bowl. It's like an extra $50 billion in their pocket or something crazy. I'm sure they need her there.
They're hoping the Chiefs beat up on the Bills. That's what they want.
So many eyes.
At a high level, I always feel like people who are just like rife on these conspiracy theories and all the refs being paid for and stuff are fools. That it's not true.
Jerry Rice believes it.
But sometimes it is true. Like in the NBA, we know it was true. This is a little while ago now. Billy Donovan, I think, was the dirty ref's name. Mm-hmm. And there were more dirty refs. But then the leader of the NBA, I think his name was Stein or something. You know me in names. Like told all the other refs, knock it off. You're about to get caught. So they did. I think that was fucked up.
Yeah.
So sometimes it is dirty. And I can't reconcile that with my feeling that it's typically not. I don't know.
Yeah, I believe that the NBA regularly make sure that games will come down to close decisions because blowouts are just not going to be watched. They're going to you're going to change the channel for the next hour and a half. No, they're going to fix the game.
And yeah, I mean, NBA would be the easiest to fix, just the nature of the sport.
Oh, you think? Why do you think that?
Because it takes like a couple fouls for the coach to be forced to be like, all right, you're out for a while because we might need you in the fourth.
They can break the rhythm so easily. It, as little as I know about that game, trust me, that's the game I know. I know more about Highline. But it seems like a team can really get on in a groove, in a pattern, and just score, run down, score, and like, damn, they just ran up 11 points on us in 3%. This is no good. That barely adds up. It seems like the refs can be.
How they get 11 like, points in 3 possessions? This is impressive. There's some four plays in there.
Maybe there's a safety in there. Yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of some and ones. But what I'm saying is, like, I don't know. I feel like they blow the whistle. You move too quickly. They were like, let them catch up. I feel like they just keep the score close. And in the NFL, like, man, it'd be a crazy conspiracy. But there's just so much more money to be had by getting Kansas in than whatever the Bills or somebody like that in their place.
Yeah, I mean,
not that the Bills won't be a big market. It's fucking New York, but and it's gonna be a story, but.
They make
Zach
it clear.
Was just telling
like
us
what,
before you got here, he's from upstate New York. That there aren't that many Buffalo fans. It's Buffalo and barely to Syracuse, but that New England and their huge success like sucked up all the upstate New York fans.
Oh, that makes sense. So this might actually get me not to be a Falcons fan, but to be a Falcons interested person.
A Falcon acknowledger.
We're not friends. We're just Falcons acquaintances.
Yeah. I'm not gay. I'm Falcon curious. And okay. I heard that they might get
Bad
Bill Belichick. No, well,
ooh,
really? Not this year, but it's about next year. Yeah, they might get Bill Belichick, and they've got the 8th pick in the draft, and they need a quarterback because they've got other tools.
From the outside looking in, and I don't know anything about football, but I do know that all of Bill Belichick's success was with Tom Brady. Not 80% of it, not 90, not 95, 100% of it. If you put me as a coach of the Edmonton Oilers in 1983, I'm in the Hall of Fame right now because I go, Wayne, what are we doing tonight? And then he goes, Coach, you just let me handle behind the bench also. And I'll go, yeah, okay, I'm gonna look stern with my hands behind my back and I'll let you handle the shifts and everything. Like, is that almost what happened with Belichick? Is he actually a genuinely fantastic coach? Great coaches are like the 1980 Olympics coach who's like, you're not all losers just because you're all, you know, electricians and plumbers and they're professional Russians. Like, you can do it. You're college kid. Like, that's a coach. Bill Belichick being like, how am I going to succeed? Oh, I have the best quarterback in world history. I'll do that.
Some of the best receivers.
Then what does Tom Brady do? Tom Brady, everyone, I remember when that happened, when he left New England because it was such a big story. Mm-hmm. Everyone was like, you're about to see Tom Brady. It was a product of the system that Bill Belichick created around him. And then he wins a Super Bowl with fucking Tampa and Bill Belichick misses
the playoffs. I remember it slightly differently, but about the same, it was, ooh, we're about to get this question answered. Why were the Patriots so good? Was it Tom Brady or Bill Belichick? And I thought it was going to be Belichick, but I didn't have strong feelings.
Gronkowski with him too, right?
Yeah. And, he and did, like, yes.
And everybody else got old. Look, I think it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, like it usually is in life.
No, it's all or nothing.
No. You know what? Don't go against Taylor's football expertise, all right?
Yeah. I played for 2 years in middle school. I'm very familiar.
I find it telling.
I played every position.
you suggested that what makes a good coach is like a halftime speech giver. We could hire Tony Robbins to come in and handle that. I need an offensive and defensive coordinator, somebody with a scheme. I need somebody who's like,
what I learned in any given Sunday.
It's not just speeches. Like, the reason that the American 1980 coach was good is he made lines that effectively combated the Russians. Like, if you put me behind that bench, we get blown the fuck out because I'm like, you're our three best players. You'll be on the first line. You're the next three best. You'll be on the second line. Like, that's my dumbass. He like constructed it correctly, made sure everybody knew their role. Belichick, I don't know. I know everybody loves him, but has he had a winning season since Tom Brady left?
I don't know the answer to any of those questions. Frankly, I don't care. What I find interesting about Bill Belichick is his personality, right?
Like, I don't know anything about him. No.
Okay, you'll love him if you watch some of his interviews because he refuses to give the media an inch of happiness or like he gives yes and no answers.
He's like obstinate, like
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to fucking be here. Do you understand that scheme? You understand that kind of defense? How about I say yes or no for the next hour and a half to you people? And like he's so dry and
I like
rude
that.
And caustic.
You like that?
It's funny to like mess.
He
with
never smile. Like I think there was a meme like a while back because he won one a close game or something or did something because he grinned a little because he never shows emotion. He's always just. He will win a game and his players will be melting down because it's like we just kicked a 53 yarder to win the game in overtime. Bill goes, he nods while he frowns and walks to the locker room. I like that.
Wow.
About
like a how, win by two.
I like his shitty ass personality. He's so dry and they'll ask him questions like, what do you think? You know, you got this player out there. He's coming back from this and that. And, you know, Tampa Bay, they've got this kind of offense and you've got this kind of defense. And you think there's going to be a lot of special teams play today? That sounds about right.
Well, it is a football game. Like that is part of it.
The reason I don't love Belichick is I watch the New Heights podcast, or more specifically, I watch shorts of the New Heights podcast. And they have some players who played for the coach Belichick, and none of them have really positive things to say about the experience. None of them were really turned into more than they otherwise would have been, it seems. So I was not in love with the guy, but you can be. Maybe I'm wrong.
I need to know when I hear a player in any sport talk shit about a coach, I need to like immediately look into that player, because there will be times that like you know, Jeff Skinner for the Buffalo Sabres was like, I fucking hate this coach. And it was totally justified because he's a goal scorer. And like, I'd go check and it's like, oh, they're playing him 11 minutes a night. He should be playing like 19 a night. No wonder he's pissed. That seems justified. But if I were to go and, you know, oh, this Bill Belichick sucks. He won't even play me. And I look at the guy's stats and it's like, oh, yeah, he traded you because you were the worst safety on the team. It wasn't because Bill didn't like you. It's because you were slow. So you have to be fair about that. I'm don't actually think Bill Belichick's a bad coach.
Okay, there's a Coach Spo. He coaches in the Miami Heat, a basketball team. Mm-hmm. And there is this like truism. You never trade for Heat role players because they look good when they're on the Heat. Spo gets more out of his players than anyone else in the league. But I guarantee you, that guy who's scoring like 13, 17 points a game for the Heat will come to your team and give you four. Because only Spo gets that out of him. That's what impresses me. When top to bottom, they make players better than they otherwise would have been. I like that.
That's how that one coach, slipping my name now, who was for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the hockey coach, where he has like a 3-year shelf life everywhere he goes. And Tortorella. Yes. Tortorella. Right. Thank you.
I do assists. I don't score. I'm assists.
That was a primary assist, man. That was a pass right in the slot, slap shot home. Yeah. John Tortorella. He's like, do you remember Quentin Tarantino's character in Pulp Fiction? Mm-hmm. Where he's like the wolf, the fixer. He's like the wolf. He's Harvey Keitel. And so they'll bring him in when there's just a horrid culture in the locker room, almost like, all right, these guys can't bicker amongst each other if they all dislike John Tortorella together. And so he gets in there and he like skates. He like makes them do bag skates if they have a bad game, which is like something you do to like 15-year-olds, which is like
bag skate, like
ladder skate. So you start at the red line, skate as fast as you can to the first blue line, then back to the red line, then to the middle line, then back to the red line, then to the second blue line, then back, then all the way down and back. And usually the person who comes in last or like the bottom half have to, you know, keep going. Or if someone doesn't do it fast enough, I hate when I see them make the goalies do it. Cause I'm like, come on, give them a fucking break, man. I empathize. But they bring him in
real skates.
They bring him in and for like 1 to 2 years, the team will see more success and you'll see players who were failing in other franchises given more opportunities. Cause I guess he's good at being like, hey, I'm going to level with you, Boone Jenner, who's a real player. Boone, you're not as good. You're only playing as much as you do because you're on the Blue Jackets right now. You think you'd play this much if you were, you know, 2019 on the Blues on Chicago in 2015? No, of course not. So if you want to stay in this, you think there's a place for you outside of Columbus right now? There's not. You're playing for your job right now. Like, do you want your career to end? It's like, no. It's like, all right, well, I need more out of you because I will send you to the minors. Like, he'll lay it out like that because he knows, like, no one anticipates anything out of the team I'm coaching right now other than getting us back on the rails. And then 3 years from then, when the team improves, they let him go. And he goes and he starts his new journey as the fixer somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
He's Mr. great. Like,
guy? Why aren't the Flyers any good?
It's not good. Like but he's like the most bummed. Like players either love him or hate him, where they'll be like, he really lit a fire under my ass, and I thank him for that. Or they'll be like, every game we lose, he'd come in the locker room and call us limp-wristed faggots. And it hurt my feelings. I was already down. Yeah, I was already down, and he came in, you know, guns blazing. But
oh, that reminds me of like the only coach that I even know of. It's Bobby Knight, mm-hmm. and the famous stories of what he would do.
Throwing chairs, you know, right?
Wipe. Remember when he wiped? He goes into the toilet. He wipes his ass. He comes back with a toilet paper with shit on it, and he says, "This is what y'all look like tonight. This is what you're playing like. Shit, playing like actual little human shit. That's Gerard, human shit. Peters, yeah. human shit. Look at it. This is you."
You see that undigested peanut? That's you, Williams. That's you tonight.
You're not even shit. You're not even shit.
This looks like corn. It's just the shell of the corn. Yeah. You're not even corn, bro.
That's what you are. On the surface, you look like a man, but you're just a kernel of corn in my shit. Hollow on the inside and full of poo.
Coach has a lot of GI issues.
He relates a whole game of basketball to doo-doo. It's incredible. It's incredible.
After the first game of the season, lit a fire under my ass. But 70 games in, I was tired of seeing his shit.
Literally, I was tired of his shit. Okay, Stevens, yeah. This is you.
This is you. I'm going to use this to draw a picture of what you look like on the wall, like a fucking
dude.
There
was a caucus last night in Iowa.
Trump's victory
was the biggest victory any presidential candidate has had since the start of the Iowa caucuses.
How long is that? So,
all right, so
50s.
Like, oh shit,
it's long-ish. Very long time.
So I feel like that's an interesting statistic. Okay. What I wanted to find out, what I was trying to find out, was total number of votes. From last caucus, the last Republican caucus specifically in Iowa. Like, I want to know, all right, he got 53,000 votes.
So the 2016 caucus votes.
Yeah. So I'm just off the top of my head. Let's say he got 53,000 and then Ron got 26,000 and Haley got 25,000 and Vivek got 7%, whatever that comes to, 8,000 or some shit. So I'm wondering, like, back in the last caucus, did Trump, was the total number of votes substantially more, substantially less because of the weather? Mm. It was famously cold.
Have it in front of me.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, as you might remember, Ted Cruz won the Iowa caucus. The winner of the Iowa caucus usually does not become president. But he got 51,000 votes and Trump got 45,000. Now, last night, I think the winning numbers were like 27,000. Let me look it up.
Trump got 50 something and the other two had 25 or so.
I'm looking at second place then in the 20s.
That's what I remember from last night. Yeah, the percentages don't matter though, to reiterate. It's really, you know, because it was so cold.
Oh, you're right. So Trump got 56,000 votes last night and in 2016 it was 51 and 45. Did I answer the question right?
Yes, you did. Yeah. Okay. If anything, it's surprisingly more because of the cold.
There were more votes in 2016 because Rubio mm-hmm. got 43. If you look at the top three, 51 45 43. This time
let's call it 100.
50 27 27. 50. It's like third less votes.
So definitely down. Okay. But he won by a landslide, but who cares? Of course he did. That's what the polling said was going to happen. He mm-hmm. slightly exceeded what they... It's so funny. The polls were dead on, almost. Like, they had Haley edging out Ron, but, you know, it was...
It was a toss-up.
They had Vivek down at 7. He got 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. They had Trump at, like, 50-51, and they were like, no one's ever gotten a plurality or whatever it is. You got 53.
Majority.
Man, that polling was dead fucking on.
Now, I saw him expecting 55, 56, and he got 51. And
did he say it? Because he'll say 100.
This was some, like...
100%.
I want to say...
You wasted your vote
yesterday. It wasn't right-wing news. It was like... It might have been ABC or something, or CNN.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're supposed to get 55. You only got 51. And they're painting it like weakness. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. What happened last night was the absolute best case scenario for Trump, according to me.
Zach said he won 99 out of 100 counties. That seems
yes. No, that's insane. Right. Yeah, there's only one county that went the other way. It was to the chick, Nikki Haley. And
she sucks. I hate her.
Yeah, she won a county where there's like a college in that town, so there's all these well-educated, higher money people, and she won that. So, but anyway, I was saying Trump got first, DeSantis and Nikki got a distant second and almost tied. So neither one of them distinguished themselves as the other person in a two-man race. Now New Hampshire's coming up. What's likely to happen is Trump wins that, and Nikki Haley gets a close second, based on polling. And so now Trump wins both. Second place is a revolving, you know, musical chairs, you know, call it what you will. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I see. So what's going to happen is they're going to head into South Carolina. Nikki is going to lose, even though she's the South Carolina governor or ex-governor. She's polling to lose that. Trump is going to have beaten DeSantis and Nikki Haley both times. And then he'll beat Nikki Haley, the most recent competitor to him, in her own home state. And it looks over by
everybody
the
goes time home.
He went. Yeah,
I hope so. I hope unless they knock Nikki Haley out.
The one thing that exists is this black swan event. Does his legal troubles or death change the way this goes?
Well, the death certainly would. Although yes. I'd say
Weekend at Bernie's.
Dead
him
Trump into the beats office. Vivek. Dead Trump beats Vivek. I'd say that.
I wouldn't bet against it. Yeah, I wouldn't bet against it. I wonder what happens. Like,
what if we Biden choose amongst and
the
Trump.
Remaining people? Can Trump Jr. just like grab the baton, I'll say, and be the guy?
See, that's one of Trump's biggest failures, if you ask me. It's not having his second in command, the one to follow him right there next to him, like grooming them, be like, oh, don't you know how wonderful Eric is? You guys think he's silly and has weird teeth. Like, come here, let me show you all his hobbies. Come on, show him your hunting collection. Did you kill a mama elephant recently? Show him the nipples. Show him the nipples you got.
You're right. That is the antithesis of who he is, though, right? Like Trump sharing limelight and attention and grooming someone is the opposite of who Trump is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If anything, maybe his daughter, but that's a different kind of grooming, you know?
Well, he did have a whole show where he pretended to try and develop people into good businessmen, right?
Yeah, but that's a pretend thing. But yeah, you know, he's had the world's...
Obviously, he's not invested in the fucking paper cup company that some retard comes up with in 2003.
Oh, that's Shark Tank. He didn't do Shark Tank.
No.
He should have. I bet he would. I'm so surprised he never just stole Mark Cuban's fucking Shark Tank idea and did his own, like, more conservative... Like
is that Cuban's idea? I know he's on the show.
Oh, I don't know whose idea is, but I just assign it to Cuban because he and Trump are such enemies. Like, that would be his motivation to get... It wouldn't be to go after that bald guy or that sassy lady. It'd be like, Cuban's making too much money with this fucking TV show. I don't like it.
That's pretty gay for, like, billionaires to have that kind of rivalry. Like, it's just kind of embarrassing. I'm on the other team.
I'm like, dude, I want to see a fist fight between Cuban and Trump, and then on the same card can be Zuckerberg and Elon. Let's do it.
Let's do tag teams. Ooh. Like that. That would be
I'm
fun.
Listening. I'm listening.
The oldest, first youngest, just to see them just getting their ass.
Things go horribly wrong. And Zuckerberg's up against Cuban.
I can at least with like a Trump and Cuban billionaire thing. At least they're on the same tier of billionaire. So it's like, oh, they're both like insecure around Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. But what seems embarrassing to me is like when Elon Musk and Mark Cuban have a feud, or really I should say when Mark Cuban feuds with Elon Musk, because it's like, Mark, you're picking a fight in about like business with a guy who blows your ass apart in business. Like the one thing you're excellent at, you're picking a fight with someone who you realize Elon or Bezos, you know, either really Elon's the one he doesn't seem to like. Like he could buy and sell everything you have and not notice.
It would have no impact on
it. Would have no impact on Elon Musk at all.
I don't know Trump's net worth, and I'm afraid any guess makes it's just
called up. I would say it's 1.5 billion.
I thought it was like 3 billion, but he claimed like six something.
He claims over 10. But some people say it's not actually a billionaire. The range is so big, I can't tell. Yeah. But Cuban's, Google says it's 6 billion. And Yeah, Elon Musk really could lose $6 billion and it would have no impact.
He did.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to buy Twitter for $44 billion. Seems like reasonable.
He's down about $30 billion on that, and I think he can still have anything he wants.
He still can.
I wish like, he would
Twitter
reply
is
to one
like
of those.
Up in a big way with traffic. Like I wish year would, over year, yeah, it's up like 25%.
Yeah, but like, it's not serving the ads though, right? Yeah. You know, like YouTube has plenty of traffic. They're still not profitable. Oh, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about fucking YouTube's horse shit. YouTube.
Oh shit! You texted me and I shut that down immediately, and I really do think it cooled my computer down a bit.
This ad blocker, right?
Yeah,
that's insane. Any of you who are using Chrome and AdBlock have probably seen that YouTube is grinding to a fucking halt lately. Mm-hmm. And for me, my computer's powerful enough that it only happens when I play Tarkov. So if I got Tarkov over here, and I try to watch a YouTube video over there, my PC can't do that. With the best CPU that's out right now and the second best GPU in the world, my PC cannot play a YouTube video and play Tarkov at the same time. It locks it. I swear to God, because YouTube is doing something. I don't understand the technical thing, but they're overloading your CPU and my fans are all screaming. And I'm sitting here like, I got some Vietnamese malware again. Yeah. Like somebody's Bitcoin farming over here on my system or some shit, and I can't get Bitcoins in Tarkov. I'm upset. And I find that article on Reddit. And I immediately go over here, allow ads on YouTube. I click that real quick on my ad block. Everything just turns loose, slides, slippy slidey. Videos playing 8 at a time now. It doesn't matter.
Wait, you just turned ad block off or you uninstalled it?
I disabled ad block on YouTube. It says allow on this site. I did that. And keep in mind, I have premium. So like, I don't get ads anyway.
Well, that's what I was going
to
add.
But the interaction still does it to you because it doesn't check to see if you have premium and then... Oh, don't slow him down. It's like you're using AdBlock. Fuck you. Your system slowed down.
They must be doing it to hundreds of millions
of people.
I have premium. I clicked allow ads and YouTube started working better for me. I thought my bandwidth was bad. I was like, oh, you know, sometimes my access points need to get rebooted or something.
How is that legal? ISP, that's so fucking ridiculous.
I got a little bubble that popped up.
How's AdBlock legal? Interruptions?
Want to know why?
Yeah, how is AdBlock legal? That's good. That's true.
I don't. Maybe it's my content creator side that's like, is YouTube wrong here? You're stealing YouTube.
Yeah, so, they're wrong for backdooring a way to YouTube. Exacerbate your computer.
I'm mad because of my specific case scenario. I was the good boy. I was paying for your premium shit because. And look, I truly do believe this. I think that if you like online content, if you like those Zergriz montages from back in the day and you wanted to see more of that content, it's like, hey, this guy's like a little artisan over here cooking this shit up in his free time. He's a cop in real life. He, like he can't be here. I think.
No scoping criminals.
Something like that. But if you, right? Fucking 360.
Dude, you got to aim.
Dude, he collateraled two rapists. they were Eiffel Towering a poor girl in the park, and he just smashed them both through the head.
That's
double
fucking hilarious.
Get up and down with the bear's nest. Zoom in on the collateral kill feed.
I was going to say that. We were racing, man.
Oh, shit, my chair broke. Yeah, that's my fucking like
faulty style. Craftsmanship.
Faulty craftsmanship. It's YouTube, those fuckers. Yeah. They've got malware in my chair
it's
now.
Cool, Taylor. That happens to Wings as well.
Well, that's true, but it didn't break that way. It's right side like armrest. I'll randomly be doing something and it just drops.
Oh, it slides down.
Yeah, and the little hydraulic. I need to get some duct tape and make it look just
That'll look good.
I do believe in supporting all like content creators like Twitch, and I see YouTubers and stuff that I like. I always chip in and become part of their little program or whatever. It's like, especially those Tarkov YouTubers who spend way too much time testing like recoil patterns on guns. It's like, hey guys, I've been spending 7 hours a day for the last 3 weeks testing these recoil patterns. $3 from you would save my life right now. It's like, I spent 5 hours here watching your videos. Like $3 seems fair.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I believe in that. But YouTube slowing my system down when I'm paying them, whatever. I don't know what YouTube premium costs, $20 a month or some shit.
Less than that. Yeah. Cause I think we all have YouTube premium. I just like, they should have had something like up front where like you go to YouTube and you have AdBlock installed and it gives you one of those like, currently unavailable, disable your ad block and then you could do that.
It should say pay in customers only. Like an Italian guy, like stay like he used to, oh, play a video of
I need $5, five a month.
That's the Sopranos cast, the surviving cast to come on and put on the accent and threaten you a little. You ever watched the Sopranos podcast with Christopher and Bobby Bacalari?
No.
I didn't know
they've got like hundreds and hundreds of episodes. So
do they talk about like real stuff, or is it all like, remember that time?
Remember that time.
Yeah, all those times that we'd be trying to shoot and he had horrible diarrhea because of his diet.
We were
all pretending to eat the hoagies. He was a method actor. So they had to have fucking 6 pounds of salich every freaking time he comes on the set.
Yeah, that's they have a lot of the former guest stars. They had Steve Buscemi on recently, which was fantastic because Buscemi wrote the Pine Barrens episode, and obviously he played Tony B for an entire season. So he's got lots of stories about writing, interacting with David Chase and the whole cast and crew. But it's interesting because they have a real Opie and Anthony scenario going on over there, Taylor.
Really?
Christopher, Michael Imperioli, I believe, is Christopher's actor. Wonderful podcaster. A pleasure to listen to. The other guy is always just like, remember that one time? And he's
Bobby Bacala.
That guy's insufferable. Whenever they try to like ask a guest about like interesting things, Bobby will just ruin it. So I can't really listen to their show for more than 20, 30 minutes. I got to really have a guest on.
That sucks because he was so likable as a character in the show.
Everybody says that. Everybody's like, Bobby's the good man. Bobby's the one good guy. Why?
Okay.
What makes Bobby the good guy? Because he had kids he cared about?
No, he still murdered people in cold blood. I just liked
him. Just
one. Him. Well, that's right. He had never murdered anyone. Right. It was near the end of the whole thing, right?
Second to last episode.
And he didn't have a Gumar.
Made in America. Last episode.
He loved his wife, even though she was worthless and fat. And
well, his previous wife. Use his first wife because she was wonderful and he loved her so much. He was taking the cake to her grave.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
See, he was a good guy.
But anyway, he loved his wife. He seemed to like his kids. He was soft. He wanted good things, even though he was willing to look away from bad things.
Yeah.
Fair. He's the best guy, I suppose, of them all.
Okay.
Which is just saying so little because they're all such pieces of shit. I mean, I love Tony, but man, Tony's he's got so many flaws.
He's a bad dude. The most unrealistic thing about the entire series of
bad
Sopranos is that he needs more than one therapy session. Like that there's no way. Or I guess they had to have her be a female therapist because he had to like want to fuck her, because there's no way he would have went in and like let the Jewish therapist that is Melfi's therapist, like the therapist in
Inception, tried that.
Couldn't have had that guy. He would have been like, go fuck yourself.
I thought they did a really good job of selling that the big, tough, ignorant guy would go to psychiatry, even though it might mean his life, because he's falling apart. Like he's collapsing. He was raging at people. He's tearing phones out of walls. He's like, he can't run it. It's affecting his money and his business and his respect for and his family. And everything he cares about is being threatened by this sickness in his head. And he's done all the science stuff and he's wound up back over here with, an older Italian woman. This is something I'm used to. Okay. I like that.
It would have been it would have been a terrible show if he immediately recognized the reason for his anxiety and intense panic attacks was because on a deep level, he knew he was behaving in a way that's wrong. You can't have that happen. Episode one or episode two, he actually starts working at a trash company.
I saw a picture of Lorraine Bracco, I think is her name. She's the one who plays Dr. Melfi. Unrecognizable from the plastic surgery. Like different person, unrecognizable.
Like goofy, like feline features?
More like Melania. Yeah. There's Melania-like feline features.
You're on Reddit like me. Did you see Starlight? She got
that's what
I saw that
next.
On Twitter. Was that Photoshop? She looks terrible.
So hold on. I looked into it. I was like, she does look terrible. And she also doesn't look like the same person. And I often defend plastic surgery by saying, hey, we're looking at this person who's 65 years old who doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. We can't compare to what she looked like at 25. We need to compare to the hypothetical 65-year-old version of her we won't see. Well, she's 28, 29. She's not over 29. She's in her late 20s. And she does not look nearly as good. She should look amazing. Yeah. So I looked into, I looked for more pictures, and I found a video of her talking that was only 3 months old. So I assume that's her current look. That was a bad picture, but it just maybe kind of exaggerated the worst version of her, but it wasn't inaccurate.
Her nose looks terrible. Like it has
she
like
also the, had that
yeah, she had that like buccal fat removed, yeah. Which is like ugly as shit. Why do you think anyone would be attracted to that? And then her nose was shaved down so much, at least in that photo, that it was like almost looked sharp. Like Michael Jackson's nose, where the doctors clearly took off too much and they had to
way too much, you know,
finagle it. Yeah, that's a damn shame, because she was hot, and now she looks 10 years older than she is if she's in her late 20s and that picture is at all accurate. Like I would have guessed, oh, that's a 38-year-old woman.
I think I'm more attracted to Queen Maeve than I am to Starlight. Starlight seems fucking annoying and high maintenance. Queen Maeve.
Yeah,
seems
that's a damn shame. I don't like that angular.
Taylor said that. What I can't pronounce the word. The buccular.
I think it's
surgery.
Buccal fat.
Buccal it fat. Is. It can look good if you're too chubby in the face.
Starlight, like, stoplight.
Right. But man, this is not an upgrade. She didn't need help with her cheek. She had an amazing jaw in the beginning, and now
she's hot as fuck on the left.
She
gorgeous
is.
On the left, and then the right.
That adding 4 years wouldn't make her hotter, but she should still be really hot.
She looks like a tranny prostitute on Backpage now.
If you're telling me that woman on the right there is in her late 20s, that's a huge mistake.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, someone was in the Reddit comments being like, I wonder if she knows.
Probably.
And they're like, yeah, she knows. Her Instagram comments are all like personally
disabled.
Approved. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, she must get, oh my God, you look so much worse now. 600 times a day. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it drove her to get like fillers and try to undo. And what would you do if you were her? Would you roll the dice and try to fix it, or just stop?
I don't know.
You're
she made a mistake when she was listening. She clearly was listening to other women and gay guys to make the decision to do this. Like, a straight man would never tell a woman who looks like that, yeah, you need to get your nose shaved down. You need to, oh, that fat. That youthful face you have going, we're gonna age that up, baby. We're gonna age that up. We're gonna make you look gaunt.
I don't know if she had her boobs done, but she's. I don't mind a very small chested woman. I'm totally cool with that. I've never seen them too small, but a lot of people would disagree with me. Most perhaps. And if she got bigger boobs, I'd be like, yeah, I see where you're coming from. That's what society digs.
That's a win for everyone. Yeah.
No, they would look anyway.
As long as they were done well.
That's a terrible look. That's real gross.
Honestly,
on the other hand,
I don't think they're ever done well. They just look good under a dress.
Titties? Oh, yeah. No. I think sometimes they look great. Sometimes, well, when they look great, you just don't know. But most of the time,
they don't feel great, right? Like,
it depends on how much titty there was before the implant. So, like, if we go from a B cup to a C cup, that's a good move. There's enough fat on top of that implant and muscle, too, if it's under the muscle, that man, we've got, this feels real and it's bigger. But if we go from like an A to a D, you've just got tight skin stretched over silicone. And it's like, it feels like a waterbed that doesn't move. It's like,
There's no natural hang. It's just bolted.
Bolted on that. That's a good subreddit. bolted on tits. Bolted on tits. There's also bolted on booty or bolted on ass.
You guys know a Reddit for every single little thing in every category. It'd be like, oh, I'm at, I've been at r/police shootings in South Jacksonville recently, and it's a great Reddit. You know, just me and eight other guys. We all share videos with each other. Yeah, that's a huge mistake from her. Hopefully they recast her with a woman who looks exactly like she used to. You're a little too old for this role.
I saw someone do that to Margot Robbie's 33. They're like, it's time for her to pull back and retire. She's expired.
That's 10 years past Leonardo DiCaprio's absolute peak. So,
you know what? It's not that I think Margot Robbie looks bad. I watched Barbie. So like I saw her fairly recently, because that's a year old maybe. She looks good. But like she's a little past this like it girl. You know, like, can we all agree that she's just attractive Hollywood now and not like the one?
Yeah. I'm more into that new Marvel character, that Native American who's deaf and has one leg.
No, you're making that up.
I Bet don't me. Know. I'm not touching it.
I would not put it past Marvel to have like a person of color retard cripple be like, wow,
our new action hero.
Yeah, they call him Wheels.
He's also like,
he's totally nonverbal and his only power is telepathy. Like, he's just
his name's totally Sir Hops a Lot, and it's a girl who identifies as a boy with one leg.
And he hates called Echo colonizers. Yeah,
I think it shows. It's a new show. I think it's called Echo, and I'm pretty sure it's a one-legged Native American chick who's deaf. Well, that's a different character. That's a white man who clearly lost his legs for his country.
Who is that? Is that?
I have no idea who that is. But Echo, on the other hand, is this Native American girl who's got one leg and she's deaf, and she's a superhero. Wow. I don't know if her name's Echo. The show's called Echo.
Do you know her power?
I don't know. Fucking... Oh, she actually, they got an actress with one leg, of course. No, she's a method actress. She had that cut off.
Is it?
Damn. Looks what like a fucking stupid superhero.
I can't tell for sure.
Yeah.
I'm so glad this shit is dying
out. Show us your stomp!
Even people who are interested in superhero shit are, I'm using you guys as my weather vane here. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Seems like people are not enjoying it anymore, which is fantastic.
Well, oh, it's bombing so bad. The culture war is on. They clearly, look, the go woke, go broke thing or whatever is a funny little meme or whatever, but that's, you can see every step of the way the difference that Marvel has made, the difference in the movies. And this is a real character, and that's what they'll always fall back to. Like, this is a comic character. No one's ever
Who
heard
cares?
Of character.
Comics are gay.
The thing about Marvel comic, I don't know how many there are. I would guess there's more than 3,000 characters. My guess would be 3,500 total Marvel characters if I had to guess.
Each more redundant than the last.
So you clearly went through that list and found one who's like an amputee minority.
Zach says she was supposed to have two legs. They just added that.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I don't care.
That doesn't help their case. She's supposed to be
the whole thing. Like, who's wanting to watch this? Are there deaf Native American girls out there with one leg who need
representation? You know what? I'm still not completely over the superhero thing. I think it's a little fun. I have a good time with it.
Best last one. What's the best last one you saw?
Reacher.
That's not a superhero show.
It totally fucking is a superhero show. You can't convince me that Reacher...
And it's not any good. The second season is bad.
It is bad,
but this guy has like ESP, and he's the world's greatest detective. He's more of a superhero than Batman. He can like fucking set off car airbags with one kick. He can never lose a fight, even if it's fucking 6v1 and the other people have weapons. He is a superhero.
Well, yes. I mean, but he doesn't have powers.
No,
that's my defined thing. But Captain America is fucking, he sucks. He's the worst. You know my opinion on Captain America.
Reacher is, if you're like Reacher and you're not admitting you're watching a superhero show, then you're in denial.
I liked the first season of Reacher.
But I'm talking Marvel specifically, like, because Zach said Marvel. Batman, for those out there, the last Batman movie was quite good, I thought. One of the best, I might think it's the best Batman movie ever.
No. I watched a terrible superhero movie.
It's second best Batman movie ever.
It was called I, Boy. Did you guys see this on Netflix at all?
No. I think I've scrolled past it. Does it have Arya in it?
Hey, I think it does.
Yeah, I've scrolled past that. Yeah.
So here's the plot. Early in the show, it takes place in the UK, and Arya is getting like gang raped. So I, Boy goes to do something about it. Well, it doesn't go well. They shoot him and they rape her. And... But he gets a little piece of his iPhone lodged into his head, and now he can like control all the local electronics, access all the CCTVs, and he goes and gets revenge on like everyone who was involved in the rape.
And then at the end of the movie, it's like him saving the world, and then it pans out to him like twitching in a hospital bed in a coma, and they're like, he'll never come out of it. We don't even know what he's dreaming, if he's even capable of thought.
it's like he's just like sending texts to people with his mind and shit like that. Man, it's a really lame superpower.
That's so stupid. I'd rather not have it.
The trailer sucked me in so hard. I was like, I know this movie sucks, but I need to see it.
Yes, I can't remember
you're falling out of the superhero thing though, Woody. I can tell because both of you, there was a time years ago now where every time there was a new
used to be good
Infinity War, you guys were like, oh, it was
Infinity War is an incredible movie.
I watched Endgame yesterday, only the big scene where, you know, it's like 20 minutes long.
when the fucking gravel starts floating around the hammer. Oh,
oh. Dude, I love that. It's fantastic.
You're bad for not watching it and caring.
I haven't seen Endgame. I've seen that Infinity Wars.
Is as good as when like Theoden hits the fucking sword on the spears. It's as good as when Gandalf shows back up in the forest and like, what about very old friends?
No, it's good not.
As any one moment in the entire trilogy. At that moment, that's 20 fucking movies building up that were not bad movies. The first 20 fucking Marvel movies.
Well, like fucking Ant-Man, he can fly in and all that fan service. Come on.
No.
I watched Infinity War.
Later on. That's after. We're talking specifically about when Captain America picks up Thor's fucking hammer. That scene is the best scene.
It gave me chills. I watched it happens a lot. Someone filmed it on the movie theater and you can hear the audience react to it and they're just like, oh, they cheer. I have chills right now thinking about their fan reaction to the scene of Captain America finally getting the Thor's hammer. And like Kyle said, like seven movies earlier, they were like all trying to pick up Thor's hammer and Captain America, like it wiggled a little bit and you weren't even sure if you saw it. And Thor does one of these. Like he pays extra close attention because for everyone else, it was like it was welded to the floor.
Yeah.
And it turns out Captain America was pure of heart enough to have handled the hammer all this time.
Oh, yeah. It's pure of heart. I thought you had to be worthy.
I was raised it. No, you have to be worthy of the of Mjolnir or whatever.
Yeah, who's the most like the best as far as morals of the superheroes?
Captain America.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
Captain America is the Boy Scout. He's the good guy. Like, there's been a couple of Captain America moments that are like tear jerkers. You know, when in the very first one, when he's in that alley, all little, and he's just like, he's like willing to stand up for himself, or maybe he was defending somebody even weaker than him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like that cap. That's what they've lost. Those wonderful actors and those great characters. When we're
me and my
you're
buddy
not
walked out
turn
of the first
this one. You're losers. You're not gonna get. You got to suck each other off in the bathroom, huh? Fuck you! Fuck you for making fun of
We went to go hang out with friends. It was like we were in the theater, and I'm like, "This is Rob. This is fucking gay." And he's like, "Yeah, it is." And then we got up and left.
Captain America was good.
We laughed really good. When he went into the machine with that shitty little body, and then he came out all big, and everyone's like, "Wow!" And immediately, my thought is like, don't use this technology on a bitch. Imagine the Titan you could have if you picked some giant soldier and you use the serum on him.
Yeah, some big bully you can't control who becomes a villain.
Nah, just fine. Yeah. There's lots of good-hearted people who are big.
They found the greatest-hearted person that Kyle's they could. Right. They had a program to find this guy.
They were like, we can get muscles on anybody. But we can only find great hearts in very few people. That was what made Captain America so extraordinary. And there is a what if where they took a girl and gave her the serum instead.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, you might not know. There's a Disney series called What If. And it's like, what if zombies were in the Avengers multiverse? And, you know, you get fucking Iron Man becomes a zombie and Captain America has to fight him. And this guy and that guy. Half the guys become zombies and half the guys become superheroes and super zombies and see what happens. One of the what ifs is, what if while they were trying to give the serum to Steve Rogers, it ended up going to his girlfriend instead? And you get to see.
I feel like the zombie thing, like, there's no way, even 28 days later, zombies would have a chance of biting Iron Man, Hulk. Actually, Hulk never has pants on.
You have to understand, in this scenario, maybe Hulk is a zombie. So is Iron Man that safe?
Starts as a zombie.
Well, he gets bit along. I don't know how he becomes a zombie exactly. Yeah, I do see what you're saying, and it's hard to get the superhero to turn.
Because I'm like, that would just be a free for all for them. They'd be like that'd be like a Pro Bowl.
But make it someone who's, you know, competitive with Hulk. I don't know, Thor, and then Thor gets a bite on Hulk, and now Thor and Hulk are zombies, and you know, slowly but they turn him over, and now you got a problem.
Yeah, that could get out of control quickly.
Yeah,
but I've loved watching Marvel continue to fail. I think you're going to see many of their TV shows not get a second and third season. She-Hulk's one of them already, thank God. They interviewed that lady. What do you think about season two? Oh, I think we blew our budget in season one, and they realized it's just too expensive. Yeah, Disney couldn't couldn't come to the table with that extra money. That's what it was. They couldn't afford you. That's what happened here. No, you made one of the most embarrassing TV shows of all time. If you're going to do Lady Hulk, if you're going to come in and just totally take his thing, but put slap a vagina on it, then the first season is not the one where you twerk with a notorious whore rapper. Right?
You're 1,000% right. I didn't even see She-Hulk, and I'm upset about it. And I'm the fucking, you know, liberal pansy over here. I hate it so much. I got to go woke or broke. Barbie sort of broke that rule, but I hated the woke shit in Barbie. That movie hated men so fucking much. I couldn't stomach it. Even my wife was like, why are they so anti-man in this movie?
It's because it's a movie made for millennial women who are single in their 30s. That's why they have a 33-year-old woman playing it.
Well, that kind of checks out.
Bobby's, yeah, it's a, like, Bobby's up.
You know who wasn't like freaking out about the Barbie movie? 12-year-old girls. It was all 35-year-old women who were like, yes.
Here's what happens in the movie at a high level. Barbie completely runs the world. All the different kinds of Barbies, every Barbie toy ever made, runs the world. They own it. They're every president, every Supreme Court justice, everything, every person of power. And then Kens just thrive for the attention of Barbies who don't really like Ken. They fuck him. They walk all over him. Kens don't even sleep in sores. Every house is a Barbie house. And Ken's like, can I like sleep inside? They're like, no, fuck off. Okay. There's a little twist. Now Kens do what the Barbies did. And they paint Kens like they're monsters, like they're terrible. They're like, they get monster trucks and they watch TV in the Barbie house. And they're like, look at these awful boys. They're the fucking boy equivalent to the girls. And you're acting like the girls are good and the boys are bad. And at the end, the girls regain their power. And I'm like, this is awesome. Yeah.
I mean, it's modern cinema and it's all woke. Like if there is an underlying narrative or belief, it's like men are bad or white people are bad. And they're ham-handed as shit with it. And it's like, I am very put off by that. If I put on some movie and it's like ripping on white people out of nowhere for no fucking reason, it's like, fuck you. I'm not watching this. No, I'm not watching.
You know who didn't do that? I watched Woke. Nope. Did you guys see Nope?
Love Nope.
I don't know what that is. Is that a scary movie? Right?
Nope is an excellent Jordan Peele
sci-fi horror movie. It's by Jordan Peele.
Sci-fi horror.
And most of the characters in it are black. It's a Jordan Peele movie, and they train horses for Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And then there's a spaceship type thing that starts eating the horses, and you watch it play out as they get to the bottom of it.
Spoilers.
Wait, spaceship type thing is a spoiler? That's like
huge spoiler.
I'm not going to watch it. You can tell me.
No, I disagree. I don't think I did spoil anything. I feel like
it's like a huge mystery. The whole twist is like, it's the most unique thing that I've ever seen in cinema for what
I didn't give that away. The twist.
Did it scare you though?
You said either spaceship thing is eating people. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I don't care.
Did I say eating people?
I'm not going to watch it. He said it was eating horses, not people, but let me ask, were you actually scared? Like, did it scare you or was it like ooh, I don't know.
But I was engaged. Like, I'll just, at the end, they interact with the big spaceship, and it had my attention 110%. I wanted to see how it worked out.
Okay. It's almost like more of a thriller. Like,
if you watch 10 minutes of it, you'll watch the whole thing, Taylor. You the beginning of it has a chip.
Yeah, you said that about Terminator.
I did not. The beginning of
the chimpanzee storyline was shoehorned in. I didn't get its importance. Maybe I'll.
Okay, so what that's is.
I look shocked.
Let me go ahead and explain what. So the little boy obviously grows up to be the man at the ranch. So the little boy has this. Here's what happens, Taylor. There's a TV show like that features a chimpanzee like the Wilsons and Timmy the chimpanzee, and it's like they have this sitcom where there's a chimp and a family, and that's the deal. Well, the chimpanzee goes crazy, and tears them all apart in front of
none
a live
of those
studio
pussies could
audience
beat a chimp
on character, rips them apart, and the little boy is watching it go down, and he's frozen in terror, and he's underneath a table that has sort of a doily like edge that's semi-transparent, and the chimpanzee looks in there at him, and the boy looks back, and the chimpanzee walks away and spares him because They can't make eye contact. Everybody else has made eye contact with the thing and enraged it. It can't see the boy's eyes properly through the doily thing. The boy sees this, as well as there's this weird coincidence where the lady's shoe, as she's being ripped apart, stands on edge. And the boy sees all this as a sign that he has this control over animals, that he has this path through the universe where he has some hand on the tilt and some control over it. So fast forward to when he's an adult and he's used that little bit of stardom to have himself like a celebrity ranch where people come and see him and see his horses and shit. He thinks that he can control this giant monster thing in the same way. And he's trying to bribe it and feed it and tame it. And he doesn't have any power. So he quickly loses control of it and it eats everyone. And the way it eats you is horrific. You're like slowly digested inside this thing. The premise and the creature itself are fascinating. Really cool.
What's the creature like?
It looks like a UFO, like a flying saucer, but it's more like.
But it's biological.
It's like an underwater.
That's the twist that Kyle said I spoiled.
Yeah, it's a creature. It's like a jellyfish type situation almost. It's like pulling you in. And it hides in the clouds. Just one of them. And so they start noticing, like, that cloud's not moving. And they're sitting there having this conversation, sitting on a horse, and they're like, what's wrong with you anyways? Nothing except that cloud hadn't moved in 2 hours. And they look up, and there's one cloud that's just not fucking moving. And so they, you know, they're getting cameras, and it's a black brother and black sister. But to get to Woody's point, there's tons of anti-white racism every step of the way. I when they get their like white helper man to come over, like he's the butt of all the jokes.
Yeah. I would imagine that.
They had to go get white people to help them fix the thing, by the way. They get two professional whites that come and like solve the problem. And
I didn't catch the anti-white racism, but maybe I'm just not tuned into it.
Even that actor, that actor said that he doesn't work with white people who are less talented than him. And Jordan Peele just straight up won't hire white people. The director of the movie won't.
Two white people with
in the background. His stars are always black people.
So I agree with
white people are his villains and his background characters.
Yeah. All right. I'm never going to support this guy's work. Easy. Easy peasy. I'll continue on the way I'm going. Not like this kid that hates on white people for no reason.
One of the white people was like the most competent, and the other was he installed all the camera equipment because black people weren't smart enough.
And then the other guy can't. So the thing like has this electromagnetic field, so your fucking cell phone can't record it properly. Like nothing works. Mm-hmm. Like your phone stops working entirely. So they get like old school filmmaker man with one of those.
I like
the hand cranked IMAX camera.
And he's fearless. He's up there filming the fucking scary monster thing. And he's like, eat me if you want, bitch. I'm getting this on camera. It's good. I thought it was a great movie. I think Jordan Peele's very talented. But all those guys are, you know, there's a whole atmosphere of anti-white, anti-male racism that just has permeated all of media and most of like young culture. Gen Z, if you're a Gen Z white man, you must be so ready to blow your brains out or cut your cock off. You can't decide which.
It's probably why they both, like
usually
so many gravitate towards like the Andrew Tates of the world, and because it's like someone on their side.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely
I don't see myself casting a white dude as the lead in my movie. Not that I don't like white dudes, but I've seen that movie.
Okay, so you're typecasting all white people as whatever. It's just it's an annoyance where it's like, oh, you clearly don't like me for being white, so I'm not gonna watch a movie. Fuck you.
I'm just like, can't it all be meritocracy? Why don't we just do meritocracy? You know what? This is a character who's best played as a black guy. This is a character who's best played as a white guy. And we got the best person
only
who can nail this role.
It only goes one direction. Like, if there's a movie about Zulus, you best believe Hollywood is going to cast every single Zulu as a black guy. If there's a movie about King Henry VIII, they might cast an Indian guy as him, and then his court is mostly like, you know, a mix of blacks and whites. And it's like, that's what's annoying about it, is it only goes in one direction. It's just replacing white characters, even white historical figures, with black characters. And it's like, what was the reason for this? Just some casting director and some ridiculous progressive higher ups of these studios being like, yeah, we don't like white people. We're gonna make Napoleon or King Henry or whoever make him a African guy.
I agree with you. I just want to add, to me, it's a result of the pendulum swinging too far in that direction. Right back when Johnny Depp played an Indian, that was wrong too. They should have got a.
Yeah, that was awful.
They could have got an Indian guy or even a Mexican guy. You know, someone who looked like Tonto.
Yeah.
But instead, they got Johnny Depp, and that sucked. Yeah. Nowadays, they'd flip it around and make the Lone Ranger a black guy, and that would be stupid too.
Yeah, they I did. Agree. Oh, what was the one where they just did that? I know the new True Detectives is two ladies, and one of them's black. But look at this new Delta policy that I linked in here, where the employees are instructed to always capitalize black and brown, but lowercase white.
Dude, the amount of just like permeating hatred of white people in every institution in 2024 America is fucking ridiculous. Like deliberate HR decisions like, oh, we got to let people go, make sure they're white. Oh, we got to hire people, make sure they're not white. Like, it's absurd. Especially young people are getting screwed by that.
Capitalize black and brown in Delta Communications, unlike black or brown. White should be lowercase.
Like, that's just genuine racism, institutionalized. What else would you call that? And like, and it's not Delta that does that. It's Washington Post, CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS. Like, all of them do that shit, too. And it's just little needling.
You
like
only see race come into a headline if it is a white attacker. You'll never see three black teens attack mother outside grocery store. You'll only see two white teens in trouble for throwing rock off interstate in horrific accidents. Always. Yeah. We'll only know the race if some white people did some bad things. You will never know the race if it was black or brown.
If like a black guy like murders someone, like it'll be like suburban man involved in altercation on like page 10. And that's like,
I'll say what it was. Race if it's, out.
Yeah. If there's like a 13-year-old that's raped, if it's like a female that was the adult, you know, it's like inappropriate relationship. If it's the guy that's an adult, it's rape.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or you've seen like a story in New York or something, like five black teenagers like kill some white guy, and they'll say like rowdy teens involved in killing, and like the picture is like a stock photo from Shutterstock of like white kids fighting, and it's like, what the fuck? Like, this is like a deliberate on purpose decision to editorialize news in a way that's inaccurate to influence public perception.
Reddit calls that out a lot. I often see like two headlines side by side, and sometimes it's what we're talking about, like crime stuff. Sometimes it's war stuff where like Israel and Russia do the exact same thing, and Russia's painted as absolute monsters for it, and Israel's like, oh, you know, there's a conflict here and it's a rough situation.
Yeah. It turns out our media apparatus are despicable, evil people who are not on the interest or the side of truth. It's all.
Have you been following the Houthi conflict?
In Yemen?
I don't understand Yemen. Very well. Maybe you can, like...
The Houthis are backed by Iran, and they are in opposition for many years against Saudi Arabia. And so we have joined the side. I think we're, like, bombing Yemen now directly, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know all the inner workings.
They carried
workings.
Out
I just
a really... I watched this military guy, and he has this graph with how many aircraft were used. As the UK and the US did this coordinated strike with missiles from submarines and drop from aircraft and drones and stuff. And then I think it was connected. There was a Navy SEAL raid on a boat off the coast of Mogadishu, I think, that had Iranian warheads heading to the Houthis, perhaps, and one Navy SEAL fell off the ladder, like going up into the cargo ship into the water. And I guess their policy is if one man falls, you jump in after him, which I guess ends after the first man jumps, or they'd all just in sequence, just jump.
Yeah.
But one guy B jumped in after guy A, and they're both gone. They're gone. It's, it's been 4 days, 5 days now in the, that sounds like shark waters off the coast of Mogadishu, I would imagine.
But you get swept away quick in the ocean there.
Well, I mean, they're out in the ocean. They're already swept away,
Oof. Dude, that's such a scary way to die.
Yeah.
I wonder how long it took, because those fuckers can swim.
And they might be alive.
That makes it worse. They're not alive.
They could be.
4 days is a lot.
They probably, if they have water.
What if they get picked up by like a Somali pirate ship and they like Last Samurai, the whole situation. Now they're like leading the charge against an Italian cruise liner from the front of the rowboat.
If you want some hardcore stories, you got to get on YouTube and find those SEAL Team 6 stories, because that one guy that killed Bin Laden tells great stories. He's like, we were just killing every night. You know, if you didn't kill somebody, you felt bad. It wasn't just who you killed, it's how many you killed. It was how many Al Qaeda can you wake up from their sleep? We kept score. We'd be in their bed with them, wake them up in the night. You know what they called us? Ninjas. They said we came with lions in the paper. They went to some place and killed like 19 Al Qaeda. They swam there through muddy water to get there because there was no landway. And the papers the next day, the locals said that ninjas showed up last night with lions. He's like, it was 18 of us with two Belgian Malinois. And it's like, yeah, ninjas did show up. Like those guys swam through some muddy water, dropped off by $1 billion apparatus, and then like came in with the scariest. Samurai. They really are, right?
If ninjas went up against Navy SEALs, they would get their shit pushed in.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, that really depends on whose world's fighting and whose. You hand out ninja stars and swords to the Navy SEALs, they're gonna get shit on by the samurai. You give guns out, the samurai are gonna be befuddled. They wouldn't understand what's going on. They're gonna get their heads popped clean off.
Later on, they had black powder guns.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. I'll allow black powder guns. Good luck.
I'm still gonna take the SEALs. Fair. If the guns are involved at all, I'm taking the SEALs.
Navy SEALs are just gonna have AA-12s and sit and spins as they fucking turn around and blast away.
Well, that's probably a PKN.
Yeah. All right, PKN 491.